This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
All right, so you must follow me, okay, because I'm going somewhere. So let's start off like this. Now imagine Jesus is on his way out. He's having weird conversations with his disciples the whole time, hinting to the fact that he's going to die and rise again and go to heaven, and they have no idea what's going to happen. And they were quite scared when they realized that he was being serious, and because he often spoke in parables, so they didn't always know exactly what he meant to the things he said. But then at some stage, I think they clicked that something is going to happen. And this is one of the things that he said. He said in John 16:7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." So now obviously they're scared because he's going away. So he just tries to like calm them and said, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So it is to your advantage that I go, because I'll send you the helper. Now why on earth, slide number next, we'll come back to the word helper, but the next slide says, why on earth would what can be better than having Jesus on earth? Wouldn't that be great? Having him around us, if we could have him for like a month in our church, we would take it. Okay? Absolutely. We can book half our slots and sit at his feet like Mary and just have him like pat us on the head, and that would be wonderful. But here he's saying that it is better for me to go away. And you know why? Because I had this revelation the other day. We had missions training in here with that student girls team that went. Any of you? Yeah, no, you're not. Yeah, no, you're at student church. Amazing bunch of young girls that went on missions. And as we were praying, I felt God told me, look in this room. There's 10 of us. It's me times 10 in this room, because I'm here 10 times, because the fullness of me is inside of all of you. And then I got a revelation. I'm like, yo, that's quite powerful. I'm afraid this thing might, like the room might blow up or something, you know? That's why it's sometimes shook, I guess. It was just too much. But that's the fact of the matter. Is that he says he doesn't give his spirit in measure. So we receive the fullness of God inside of all of us. So here we sit, Jesus multiplied within us, even saying that you can do greater works than what he has done. It says that you, however, are not in the flesh but in the spirit, if in fact the spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So we are saved, have the spirit of Christ inside of us. So the only thing better than Jesus on earth is having him in every believer. Isn't that amazing? So in that previous scripture, it said he is going to send us the helper. Helping with what? Is a good question. Because you need a helper if you need help. Isn't that so? So why would you be excited about getting a helper for something you don't want help with? So what is he there to help us with? And if we look at scripture, and if you follow where I'm going with this, you'll see at the end, but he can only help us if we really want the thing that he wants to help us with. Because you can say, yeah, he wants to help me with my life, but he wants to help you in your life in what? Making more money, having a greater time, like, what does he want to help us with? You know, just like being okay. That's not Jesus. So let's look at what the Holy Spirit wants to do and what he does. There's four specific things that I found in Scripture. I might have missed one or two, but this is reasonably comprehensive, I believe, what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So we've already read John 16, verse 7, but if we go on to verse 8, it says, and when he comes, so this is something that he will do, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then you can have a whole sermon about this very technical part, but concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. We're not going to have that sermon now. I must still try to figure that out myself. But he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will ensure that people understand that they need him and repent of their sin. Okay, so that is the first thing Jesus says, is this is going to happen. This is what I want to do. The next thing he says is that I still have, like Jesus says, if we go to in the next slide, it continues and says, I still have many things to say to you, Jesus, before he leaves, okay? Jesus is like, sure, guys, we had 3 years, but we didn't quite get through everything. But you cannot bear them now, okay? Because it's going to be an emotional time, and I don't want to bear you with too much info. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. This is the next thing he will do. He will guide us into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will declare to you the things that are to come. We have Jesus with us in the inner room. This is exactly what Jesus did. The word says he only said the things that he heard the Father say. So the Spirit will do the same. He will guide each one of us in truth. John 14 with verse 26 says much the same. The next thing that the Holy Spirit will do, the next slide, is, but when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So that is what he'll do. He'll release heaven's power for us to witness with. Cool? And the fourth thing that he will do, John 14, verse 15 to 19, this is so amazing. This is so beautiful. I'm going to read the scripture. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Okay, he's speaking about the same helper now. To be with you forever. To be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. There comes the truth thing again. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. And it says, you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. You will know him. He's in you and with you. I will not leave you as orphans, Jesus is saying, because he's going to leave. They're going to feel like orphans without him. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. He's saying, I'm going to go away physically, but you will see me. You will have me. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to leave you orphans. You'll be okay, and I'll be with you forever, and you will know me. So the Holy Spirit is very much there to facilitate our intimacy with the Lord, to make sure that we know him, that we've got that space where he's with us, where we feel like sons and daughters, and where we can see him. Seeking his face means that it says when you seek, you'll find. Seek his face, you'll find his face. And sometimes in your quiet time, you'll look into his fiery eyes, and then everything else just makes sense. So that is kind of the what the Holy Spirit comes to do is those four things. I think there might be more, but I think that's a good summary. And if we go then to the next slide, I've kind of set this out as a, why, what, how, kind of a framework. This one is a bit upside down, is what, how, and why. But anyway. And then, so that's what he does. How does he do this? Very simple. He fills us with himself. That's what he does. He says, I'll come and I'll baptize you with my Holy Spirit. I'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then all that stuff can happen. He fills us with himself, empowering all this work to be done in us. There's a very big compartment of this is me and Jesus and what's happening inside of me. And then that is to be done in us by him, and then also through us, also by him. So the how is very simple. Then I want to just move to the why. Why does God do this? Very simply, in my mind, there are three things all linked to each other a lot. But this is the heart of God, is that he wants to convict them, us, the world, so that we would repent and follow Jesus. He wants us to witness effectively to that same extent, the very two things that the Holy Spirit does. So the outcome of this is the salvation of the world. God wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved so he could have a relationship with everybody. So that's why the Holy Spirit's there. The Holy Spirit is there for that purpose. And we have the opportunity to partner with this. The next one is John 14, is that same scripture that I just read that just so beautiful to me, that Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. You will know him. You will see me. Relational depth. Obviously, that links to salvation, because I don't know, he doesn't only want to get you saved, he wants to get you into his heart as deep as he can, and you into his heart, and him into yours, and that he wants relational depth with the whole world and with you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And then lastly, the last part of John 16, where it speaks about the Holy Spirit, it says, it ends off by saying, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The glory of our God is the ultimate thing in life. And that's what happens. God gets glory when people get saved and they're transformed into his image. And he gets to meet them and know them. His name gets lifted up and glorified. So very simply on the next one, and this is a very simple depiction of this, is that what the Holy Spirit does is he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He guides us in truth, us individually. He releases heaven's power to witness. He facilitates intimacy with God. He does this by filling us with himself. That's the how. And then the why is because he wants the world saved. He wants to know you and have intimacy with you. And ultimately, he's to be glorified. And that's a very simplistic way of looking at this, but why this is so important is specifically if we look at that why, we sometimes feel very little impact or power of the Holy Spirit in our own lives, and we wonder why. And then I'm coming back to the people in India and also the first disciples, they had this right mindset of why we need the Holy Spirit. So they were already aligned to its purpose automatically. And then when you say, there is a Holy Spirit and this is what he does, they're like, yes, that's exactly what we need. That's exactly what we need. I can't believe we didn't know about this. You know? Those disciples in Acts 19 that they said, like, Peter, eh? Paul met some disciples, and then he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, no, we didn't even know that there is such a thing as the Holy Spirit. He said, oh, wow. And then he laid hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and it was amazing. So it's when you are aligned to the why of God, and it links to what Siko's saying, and what I want to put before you is that the Holy Spirit isn't of much use if you're not aligned completely towards God's why. Okay? The Holy Spirit is of much use, and I say use very lightly because I mean very respectfully, because you don't want to use the Holy Spirit, but if the only things that you care about are the same things that God cares about, getting the world saved, having intimacy with you, and seeing His name glorified. If that why correlates with your why, you've got a need for the Holy Spirit. It'll fill you, it'll empower you, it'll be incredible. So sometimes we've got a couple of different aims in life. It's not really aligned to that. And then we want the Holy Spirit. He's there. We don't really know. He helps us, but He helps us with what? You know, is He going to help me with, like, buying this house? Maybe. If this is part of, if it's linked to everything that God has told you and you must do, and you must stay here now, and you must, like, buy this house, then it's all linked up. The Holy Spirit will definitely do it. But if you just want a nice house at a nice in a nice spot because you want it, but it's not aligned to God's why at all, you haven't even thought about it, then we might feel like, but you know, like, why is God blessing other people? Why is He doing incredible stuff? Why are we seeing stuff happen? And someone, and I don't want to pick on you because I don't like it when people do this in sermons, but someone like Siko, she works in a secular environment, like most of us do, like I do. But there is nothing else in her life than Jesus and His purpose. She spends time with Him before she goes to work, after work, when she comes back. You can just walk into her house. She's probably having quiet time. And then she's like praying for people at work, and people are getting healed, tumors removed, this incredible stuff, like babies in the womb coming back to life. It's just Jesus, beginning to the end. The Holy Spirit is so effective through her, and she's having the time of her life with Him because she's aligned to His why, and that's all she's doing. She just wants to know Jesus more. She wants other people to know Him more, and she wants to worship Him with her life. What an example for us to follow. I don't have Siko on my slide, so that just kind of came up, but she's an incredible inspiration to me and to all of us staying there at Cedarburg 16. So the main thing that I want to convey is that is the soil of your heart right to receive the Holy Spirit? So if we move to the next slide. I just covered this one, so we could move to the next one again. Asking yourself these questions might be really good. Do you need it? Well, you need it if you are in the business of actively building the kingdom and seeking God's face. If that's what you want to do, then yes. If you want to do some other things and that's like that's a little part of it, it can't be a little part of it. God calls us into an all-consuming relationship with Him that encapsulates, if that's the right word. I don't know. That just sounds fancy. But every aspect of our lives. And I know that there's some of us sitting here, and I just have this on my heart, that is living a kind of a dualistic life where I've got my career aims and objectives and the house I want and the things I want, and I've just never surrendered that to God. But I want God, I like God, I want to go to heaven and I enjoy worship, and that's cool, and I'll go on outreaches, but like, don't, you know, come into my other space where I just do what I want to do, you know, just have a good time, just have a good life. God wants me to have a good life, doesn't He? Absolutely, but let Him give it to you. He knows how to do that the best. So you do need it if that's you If you realize that's not you, it's a great call to realignment and repentance. Then the second part of this soil that needs to be good is, do you want it? Scripture calls us in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, 14, yeah, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Now, isn't the Holy Spirit the greatest and the first spiritual gift? And He gives us many other gifts, but that's the first and amazing spiritual gift. Earnestly desire Him and the things He has, because He's got gifts. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, then there are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you could receive even more. You know, God is better than Santa Claus. He doesn't only give you the one thing. Once you get the one thing, and that thing that He actually gives you is a thing that also gives you more stuff. I don't know what that was, but anyway, I hope that means something for someone. But God gives in when we desire. And He knows there's a spiritual dynamic to this that I'm also not going to specifically preach on, but there's a reason why God does not just hand us stuff if we don't desire for it. It's a very important reason, okay? In short, otherwise we might just not really think it's as valuable, and then we treat it with, what's the word I'm looking for? Disdain? Content, but just like, I don't care, you know, kind of a thing. Yeah, this is cool. It's like my dad buying me a Jaguar, but I don't have a driver's license. It's cool. I don't care. I don't want to drive, you know. That's my example for a bit later, but we need to earnestly desire this. And you will find then there's a conflict in your heart, because why on earth would I desire this? I don't. And if you ask that question, you say, well, I don't really desire it, to be quite honest. We then go back to step one, and we say, is your why aligned to God's why? Because if it is, you would desire it. If your only thing is, I want to get deeper with Jesus, and I want to see people saved with all my heart, then, oh my goodness, you'll desire it. So then we go back one step, and you align the why. And if you need it, and if you want it, and that is exactly where those people in India were at. They knew the need to get people into the kingdom of God, where the supernatural power is so much more effective than just going out there and telling them stories. I'm saying that with a lot of respect, but you know what I mean. And they had a desire to have it because they've seen it, but they didn't have it. They didn't know the knowledge of it. They didn't know how to get it. And so the soil was good. And then it's so easy. How do you get it? John the Baptist said, the one that comes after me, whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to untie, or something like that, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So who baptizes you with the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Okay? Remember that? Very simple. And then there's another scripture in Luke 11 that says, and I might misquote this, but it says, if a son asks his dad for an egg, he will not give him a snake. If you ask him for bread, he will not give him a stone. So then you who are evil, you even know how to give good gifts to your children. And then he says, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Right there. It's so simple. Just ask him, Father, I need you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I need you. It happened for me in 2006. I was not in the best space ever, but I was in my room and I just said, Holy Spirit, I need you. And I remember like breathing him in and said, Lord, baptize me with the Holy Spirit. And like breathed in and then started praying in tongues for half an hour, and I felt amazing after that. And then from then on, stuff happened. I wasn't even baptized yet, but that was really cool. And if we ask, he says, he gives it. And I want to just overcome a little thing here, that because of that, sometimes there's an a specific experience related to receiving the Holy Spirit. Other times, there's not a specific experience related to the Holy Spirit. You will have experiences with God. That is a given, okay? It's an experiential faith. This makes it very real too. But sometimes we think, well, I didn't fall down or burst out in like prophesying to everybody that I see. But in faith, it works like this. The Lord said, if you ask me, I give it. So if you've then asked, then you have it. End of the story. Is that cool? And then, in faith, you start living it out as if you've got it. Because you do. And then you'll see that you do. So what's next? Now you can engage God through the Holy Spirit. Many times people say, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, did Scripture start making sense to me? I opened it up, I'm like, wow, these things were like dead words, and now it's alive. And you start enjoying God on many more levels. So that's the very next step, is to go to your inner room and enjoy the Lord, and then step out of there and go do the work. That's it, guys. I don't care if you're an auditor or a pastor or whatever. That's what Christianity is about. Getting to know Jesus, becoming like him. What did he do? He just loved everybody into the kingdom of God with power. So wherever you are, that's what you're called to do to some extent, and some in another way than others. But is your why aligned to this? If not, do it. I had a conversation recently with a friend of mine who we served the Lord in together at university, and he's an incredible guy. And we just had this conversation, and I just realized that he loves Jesus, but he hasn't spent time with him in like months. He just works. You know, he's got a house, he's got a wife, he's a good guy, he works a lot, he just works, makes money, he's a good guy. That's it. He's a Christian. I want to be very honest with you, that confuses me a lot. That's not what we're called to. That's a dangerous place. And I know that some of you are there where this is not consuming you, where the call of God and his life that he's granting us is not consuming us. We need to go to God and say, God, I think I need to realign. We think pastors and people need to, you know, do this and like be like this. But no, it's the call of every believer in whatever way to have this incredible intimacy with God and to live it out in a way that gets people saved. And if you can align your heart to that, then the Holy Spirit is going to be the best thing that you can ever have. And that's where I know I had my car thing, and I've said this here before, but it makes a lot of sense to me that if we say, oh, who wants the Holy Spirit? If you get the Holy Spirit, you can speak in tongues and you feel way better when you read Scripture, and the Holy Spirit is really cool. You know, it helps you. It's a helper. You know, who wants the Holy Spirit? And people are like, yeah, I want the Holy Spirit. And you come forward and you get the Holy Spirit. So that's like me coming to someone that like doesn't have a driver's license or ever wants to like drive in his life and telling him, you can have this car. It can do this speed. It can do this. It can like take you all these places. And they're like, yeah, well, if it's for free, I'll have it. And I have it, but there's no use for it. So then, there's no power in it. So anyway, I'm just reiterating that. And then for some of us, I just know that like stepping out and like doing the work sounds like a slip. And it isn't. Once you start doing it, you realize that it is what you were made for, and you absolutely love it, and you get addicted to it. And some of you know this. You're like, wow, doing God's work is actually the fullness of life that he spoke about. It's not a schlep. It's not hard. It's lies. And with his Holy Spirit, he does the work. And I can just enjoy it. Like Paul even says, his reward is to preach the gospel. And I remember so often when I would like minister back in the day, where we would do SOS with CS, and we would minister like a whole weekend, and after the weekend I just go to CS. I'm like, CS, can't we just do this every day of our lives? Is there anything better to do than to worship God and to just share the word and see how like people's lives get set on fire and they get like changed, and we worship God, and it's like, what else do I want to do? It's the most amazing experience ever. So it's your joy to do this, so enter in it. And you've got the Holy Spirit right there to make it really amazing.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.